Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, October 15th, 2021. Section A. Church to show support for MMH. The event will take place from 2 to 3 p.m. Sunday at the Golf Course Road Church of Christ. This week, we heard from Alan Stanglin, Senior Minister at Golf Course Road Church of Christ. Here are the details of what Golf Course Church of Christ officials are planning. They are welcoming anyone from participating churches interested in joining the GCRCC family. The event will take place from 2 to 3 p.m. Sunday. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. As the Lord surrounds His people, so His people surround Midland Memorial Hospital. In his message to Midlanders, Stanglin added, "Thank you for joining the churches in Midland as we support our community's health care providers and lift them to our God in prayer. Please park in the free parking garage at Garfield in Michigan and begin your prayer walk at the courtyard near the hospital's main entrance. Using the sidewalks, proceed around the perimeter of the hospital at your own pace, stopping occasionally to read scripture and pray. 1. Main entrance. Among the benches and tables in the Abel Hanger courtyard, read James 5:13-16 out loud. Pray for the sick, those who are suffering here at MMH and throughout our city. Ask God to provide His merciful gifts of healing, comfort, and peace. 2. Helicopter pad, west side, near Kent and Andrews Highway. Look for the windsock. Read Psalm 62:1-2, 5-8, out loud. Pray for all health care providers you know personally by name. Doctors, nurses, and healthcare workers in your family, your church, your personal providers. Ask God to give them strength and rest to assure these good people with His loving presence. 3. Employees' entrance, South Side, Illinois, and O Street. Read Psalm 31:1-5, 9-10, 14 out loud. Pray for all healthcare providers at MMH and throughout our Midland Odessa community. Ask the Lord to bless them with safety and good health and financial relief. Pray for wisdom and knowledge for our doctors and nurses for increased compassion and patience. Pray for more faith and trust in the Lord and for His peace. 4. Texas Tech Physicians Center, East Side, N Street. Read Philippians 4:4-9 out loud. Pray for the city of Midland and our community as a whole. Ask God to bless all of us with healing and peace, with unity and Christian togetherness. Pray for encouragement, hope, and spirit of cooperation and common love. Stanglin reminds Reporter Telegram readers of the following quote from Oswald Chambers. Prayer does not equip us for greater works. Prayer is the greater work. National Museum holds fundraiser in Midland. Event honored retired Major General, Vietnam veteran, Patrick Brady. The National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation held an event in Midland on Thursday honoring General Patrick Brady, Medal of Honor recipient at the Bush Convention Center. An invitation showed that former Midland Mayor Bobby Burns joined Charles M. Younger, M.D., Jay Edwards, President of Park Hill Smith & Cooper, and Charlotte Jones, Executive Vice President and Chief Brand Officer for the Dallas Cowboys. The mission of the National Medal of Honor Museum and its attendant education center is to commemorate the stories of our Medal of Honor recipients, unite Americans around what it means to be patriotic, and inspire Americans to find the hero within ourselves, according to the museum's website. Another goal of the evening was to provide details of the project to establish the National Museum and Leadership Institute. The Medal of Honor is our nation's highest and most prestigious military decoration, symbolizing timeless American ideals of courage, sacrifice, patriotism, citizenship, integrity, and commitment, according to information provided about the event. Fewer than 4,000 individuals have received this honor since its founding during the Civil War. The stories of these American heroes will now be preserved, shared, and celebrated for generations to come within the National Medal of Honor Museum to be built in Arlington. Best Buy unveils Andrews County Solo Farm. Company partners with U.S. Bank and Long Road Energy facility over 2,500 acres. Best Buy has unveiled a solar power field in Andrews County that began producing power in August. Covering more than 2,500 acres, it is the largest renewable energy project Best Buy has been involved in, according to a news release. The new Prospero 2 Best Buy Solar is taking place in partnership with U.S. Bank and Long Road Energy. The project will offset the carbon impact of 300 Best Buy stores, approximately 30% of its U.S. store portfolio, for 10 years. The company has reduced its carbon emissions 61% since 2009 toward its pledge to be carbon neutral by 2040. We are committed to taking action to be carbon neutral across our business, said Tim Dunn, Best Buy's head of environmental sustainability. We are proud to be making another investment in renewable energy that accelerates our sustainability goals and addresses climate change in our operations and the communities we serve. Medical Center's hospital staff received death threats. The threats come after a COVID patient photo goes viral by Caitlin Randall. Medical Center Hospital in Odessa reported Thursday that hospital staff have received death threats and bomb threats after a photo was posted on social media showing a COVID-19 patient wearing a plastic drape. The photo was shared on Facebook by a group called the Odessa Accountability Project, which wrote that the patient is a 17-year-old girl who was being treated for COVID-19. The post said the girl was humiliated and dehumanized by staff. Since the photo was posted on Tuesday, hospital staff have received threatening phone calls, including death threats and threats on their families' lives, as well as threats of bombing the hospital, according to a statement from MCH. Rest assured, we take all these threats seriously and are taking appropriate action, CEO Russell Tippin said in a statement. Under no circumstances will MCH tolerate such threats to staff members, their families, or anyone associated with the health system. Our staff have been true heroes for the past 19 months in battling this pandemic and do not deserve the vicious threats spewed by these hateful individuals. The plastic drape was used as part of guidelines from the CDC, according to MCH. In certain circumstances, the use of a clear plastic drape or covering for COVID patients during transport is used to prevent the virus from airborne spread to staff and other patients, especially in tight areas such as hallways and elevators. Drapes are used when a patient refuses to wear a mask, is unable to wear a mask, or is using oxygen or other breathing machines. The statement said patients are never left unattended, and the patient or their guardian has the right to refuse using a drape. The post from the Odessa Accountability Project claims the drape was a plastic bag meant for covering equipment and that it had a warning on it about the possibility of suffocation. After the photo of the patient was shared on Facebook, Odessa physician Dr. Richard Bartlett was interviewed about the post on the Alex Jones Show. Bartlett called the hospital's actions abuse of power. We need to hold local administrators accountable and local doctors accountable, he said. Enough is enough. Bartlett has been critical of Odessa and Midland Hospital leaders throughout the pandemic for not treating COVID-19 patients with inhaled budesonide, which he has touted as a silver bullet treatment despite a lack of data showing its effectiveness. An MCH spokesman said hospital staff have spoken with the teenager's mother about the situation. Our top priority will always be the safety and care of our patients, Tippin said. We are always willing to listen to our patients' experiences to better communicate with them to make sure they are comfortable. The Ector County Hospital District Police Department is investigating the threats against the hospital, and the FBI is also aware of the threats. Midlander faces assault charges on elderly man. Robert William Stringer, 45, was arrested on Wednesday after allegedly assaulting a 60-year-old man. According to his arrest affidavit, he punched and slapped the man following a verbal altercation. Stringer also allegedly pointed a knife at the 68-year-old and hit the man with the side of the knife. Stringer is currently being held in the Midland County Detention Center on $50,000 bond. Breast cancer survivor to speak at Pink in the Park by J.C. Lewis. At this year's Gifts of Hope Pink in the Park, a local breast cancer survivor will be spotlighted. Molly Cool, who has had two different types of breast cancer, found her first lump when she was 30 years old. She knew she was at an increased risk because her mother had also had breast cancer but passed away from Parkinson's disease in her 70s. I found out myself since I wasn't old enough to get mammograms and I wasn't doing a self-exam, she said. I was wrestling with my 4-year-old son at the time on the bed when we had our pajamas on and we had knees and elbows flying, but then there was something. She then got a mammogram and the doctor said that they needed to do a biopsy because the lump had differentiated appearances with one side clear and defined and the other side jagged. It turned out to be a tumor inside of a cyst. The cyst kept the cancer from spreading. She was able to go 23 years without any more problems. She became a volunteer with the American Cancer Society for about 15 years. She helped other young women struggling with their breast cancer diagnoses during that time. Cooley joined the Young and the Breastless, a breast cancer support group at Gifts of Hope. She promoted the group long before she joined. The group isn't composed of only young and breastless members. She said she wasn't newly diagnosed, but she joined the group 15 years ago. I was kind of the poster child, she said, because I was 30 when I was diagnosed and 48 when I joined the group. I was the longest survivor when I joined, which I think helped them see there is life after diagnosis. Then, when I was diagnosed again, I felt like I was letting them down. But then they were there for me during my second diagnosis. During her yearly mammogram about 6.5 years ago, however, they found something. It turns out it wasn't anything to do with the first cancer, she said. It was a new diagnosis, a totally different type of cancer, and it wasn't a metastasis, which can happen. She was 53 when she found out she had another type of breast cancer. Through her journey, she was also able to reconnect with her cousin, Katie Wickman, who was diagnosed with a different type of cancer 8 years ago, but who started attending the Young and the Breastless support group. We always saw each other as kids, but once we grew up, we didn't have the gatherings we used to have. She called me as soon as she was diagnosed, so I brought her to the Young and the Breastless, and we have been connected at the hip ever since. Cooley has also witnessed the changes in healthcare when it comes to breast cancer. Midland introduced the nurse navigators who walk patients through the entire process. Things have come a long way since 1991, and we are blessed in Midland to have what we have. She will be speaking at the Pink in the Park on Saturday, which she has been going to for about 15 years. She was approached to share her story by organizers. The event will be from 10 to 2 p.m. this Saturday at Centennial Park. The program will begin at 11 a.m. with the breast cancer survivor speaker, victory walk, and recognition of other survivors. This year's Pink in the Park will be different from years past. Firstly, there will be a Centennial Park instead of Graffa Park. There will be a boxed lunch picnic catered by Indulgence Catering. Kendra Scott will be on site for a jewelry pull with proceeds going back to Gifts of Hope. Pay $25 to draw and win a piece of jewelry ranging from $60 to $120 in value. There will also be the Victory Lap, Ribbon Wall, Look Good, Feel Good Shop, local vendors, family-friendly activities, and a raffle and flamingo flock presale. Young leader moves into president role at Midland Rainbow Room by J.C. Lewis. Native Midlander Kelsey Rashur recently became the board president. The 20-something felt the need to give back to an individual organization and commit to a leadership position. the Midland Rainbow Room, an emergency resource room at Child Protective Services, provided that opportunity. The Rainbow Room assists with emergency needs of abused and neglected children and families in crisis. Rasher, 29, has volunteered on projects at nonprofits such as Breaking Bread and Helping Hands. Anytime somebody presents me with an opportunity to volunteer and serve, my answer is always yes. I don't care what it is, I just have always wanted to help people. Every month this year, I wanted to volunteer in something different to narrow down my interests in volunteering. I wanted to find my niche and see what leadership opportunities there were. Rasher found the Midland Rainbow Room and immediately knew it was a fit. Then a leadership opportunity that she had been looking for opened up. Previously, she had volunteered at Rays of Hope, a grief center for kids. "I've always loved kids, and kids really can't help themselves," she said. "The Rainbow Room has allowed me to help in more of an indirect way, but still make a real difference." Rasher has stayed in Midland since completing high school. She attended the Midland College, then got her real estate license in 2012 while working with Victoria Prince. She finished her degree in marketing at the University of Texas Permian Basin. She originally started volunteering in the resource room at the Odessa Rainbow Room with organizing all the donations the nonprofit receives to give to children in Child Protective Services that need items. In Midland, her real estate team did a school supply drive for the Rainbow Room. During fiscal year 2020, Midland County had 219 children in Department of Family Protective Services custody. The other Rainbow Rooms in the Permian Basin served an additional 500 children that year. "Although she is just getting started, the Rainbow Room is entering a busy season," she said. "A fleece drive, which is different this year, will be coming up in November, and then Christmas is always a busy time. We're doing fleece because so often we do a coat drive, and we get lots of big parkas, which aren't as needed in West Texas. Those take up more space, so we're doing a fleece jacket or blanket that kids can utilize more." Southwest and American tell Governor Abbott who's boss. A commentary by Timothy O'Brien from Bloomberg. Texas Governor Greg Abbott wouldn't want you to mistake his push to forbid private companies and others from issuing vaccine mandates as just another attempt to court conservative voters or tee up a White House bid. His executive order seeking to ban mandates in his state plainly says it's part of a larger plan aimed at protecting the health and safety of Texans. Sure, the order hopes to curtail federal overreach and stymie the Biden administration's bullying, but don't attribute that to partisan hackery. After all, the goal is achieving the latest restrictive means of combating the evolving threat to public health. Fortunately, two major airlines based in Texas understand that vaccinations are one of the most effective ways to protect public health in the COVID-19 era. They plan to ignore Abbott's browbeating. Other companies, large and small, should follow suit, no matter the political standoffs and threats in Texas and elsewhere. There's early evidence that vaccine and testing mandates work, and plenty of companies were making use of them well before President Joe Biden said he would ask the Labor Department to issue rules for corporate America. Abbott warned he would fine companies and anyone else caught ignoring his order and would stop short of jailing transgressors only because jail is not an available penalty for violating this executive order. That sounds like tough stuff, but Abbott's credibility as a COVID-19 cop would be firmer if his policy mistakes hadn't prompted Texas to import thousands of out-of-state medical workers to help battle last summer's coronavirus surge. Besides, companies have their employees, the law, and the federal government to consider. "We are reviewing all guidance issued on the vaccine and are aware of the recent order by Governor Abbott," Southwest Airlines said Tuesday. According to the president's executive order, federal action supersedes any state mandate or law, and we would be expected to comply with the president's order to remain compliant as a federal contractor. Southwest, which is headquartered in Dallas and employs 54,500 people, is a federal contractor, and that part of its business depends on remaining in the White House's good graces. Seven other carriers, including American, Delta, and United, are also federal contractors. That same group also flies nationally, meaning they cross state borders, engage in interstate commerce, and are thus regulated almost exclusively by the federal government, not by people who occupy governors' mansions. American, which is based in Fort Worth and employs 117,400 workers, pointed out that the federal vaccine mandate supersedes any conflicting state laws, and this does not change anything for American. But lucrative contracts and regulatory burdens aren't the only things informing some companies' responses to Abbott. They also have the health and safety of their employees and customers to worry about. Southwest and American have encountered resistance from some employees opposed to mandates. Last week, a group of American workers, estimated to be in the hundreds, protested outside the company's headquarters. They carried signs saying, "Mandates won't fly," and "Don't fire my dad." But American is sticking to a November 24th vaccination deadline for its employees. Perhaps the company feels that protests from well under 1% of its workers should not stop it from doing the right thing. Southwest experienced service outages last weekend, which anti-mandate stalwarts such as Senators Ted Cruz of Texas and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin attributed to worker shortages caused by draconian public health policies. "Joe Biden's illegal vaccine mandate at work," Cruz bleated. "Stop the madness before more damage is done," cried Johnson. Celia Gomez Martinez of Midland passed away on Monday, October 11th. Visitation for family and friends will begin at 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. with a rosary at 7 p.m. on Sunday, October 17th at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A funeral mass will be held Monday at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church at 10 a.m. Internment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Eladio Gomez Martinez, age 69, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, October 12th. A celebration of life will take place at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home on Saturday, October 16th, from 5 to 9 p.m., with a rosary starting at 7. Josie Rosalie Warden passed away on October 8th. Memorial services are scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, October 16th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Martha Sue Reed passed away on Tuesday, October 12th. The family will receive friends Saturday, October 16th, at Ellis Funeral Home from 5:30 to 7:30. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday at Earl's Chapel Cemetery in Jacksonville, Texas. In lieu of flowers, all donations please send to SPCA. Martha was an avid animal friend.
This is the Odessa American for Friday, October 15th, 2021. Pfluger slams Democrats' Marxism agenda. In Representative August Pfluger's world, teaching children about the history of slavery of African Americans in the U.S. is, quote, nonsense, end quote. Democrats are American-hating socialists and Marxists, and the mainstream media are perpetuators of lies, unless what they report aligns with Pfluger's views. And the 70-plus Republicans who turned out to hear the freshman congressman's speech in downtown Odessa on Thursday ate up every word. There's a great deal of anger, frustration, and sadness in the country today, quote unquote, said Pfluger, who received several standing ovations during a speech at the Copper Rose. Quote, "I don't necessarily have good news for you, but I have hope," end quote. Pfluger said he hopes that Republicans in December will be able to successfully block a spending bill being pushed by Democrats. Their proposed bill would, among other things, quote, defund the military, end quote, quote, grant amnesty for 8 million illegal immigrants, end quote, and, quote, fund abortions up to date of birth, end quote, Pfluger said. He also claimed it would lead to the government taking away people's guns. Quote, "It's easy to be angry voting on a bill like this," end quote, said Pfluger, who accused the media of intentionally ignoring Democrats' efforts. Quote, these poison pills, we're going to get these taken out, end quote. Pfluger said many of the things Democrats are trying to include in the spending bill are, quote, tricks, end quote, to distract the American people from real priorities like investing in infrastructure improvements for communities like Odessa. Pfluger promised that Republicans would also fight for funding to maintain border security. Quote, Democrats are trying to take our eyes off the ball with this critical race theory nonsense, end quote, Pfluger said. Quote, the 1960s civil rights tore away the fabric of this country more than anything else in our history. They want to add social programs that we can't afford and grant amnesty to those who don't follow the rules, end quote. Pfluger said granting amnesty to illegal immigrants would, quote, cheapen the process, end quote, for those who are in the U.S. legally. Pfluger also claimed many immigrants who are trying to enter the country illegally through Mexico are actually terrorists and drug traffickers. Quote, I'm very worried about the record level of terrorists entering our country under the Biden administration, end quote, Pfluger said. Quote, it's the most worrisome thing I've ever seen. All of us were immigrants at one time, but I'm not okay with letting people in this country without following the rules of the law, end quote. OC awards fitness challenge winners. Finalists in Odessa College's 2021 30 for 30 Fitness Challenge received some recognition and prizes as part of the grand finale Thursday. Held at Mission Fitness, the event included participants, sponsors, Odessa College, and City of Odessa officials, and a Facebook Live audience. The challenge was to be physically active for at least 30 minutes a day in September. The kickoff was August 30th, and the challenge began September 1st. The OC website said 32 teams competed. The winner of the grand prize and the first and second runners-up was drawn from a group of 10 finalists. The kids' grand prize, the team, and the school winners also were announced. Testimonials were offered by Medical Center Hospital CEO/President Russell Tippin. For many years, Tippin said he had health issues. He weighed around 350 pounds and wound up having an aortic valve replacement. Right after that, he had a heart attack and had to have 3 stents put in. He realized he needed to change his lifestyle if he wanted to see his children grow up. Now, he said, he's someone he'd only see on TV, someone who works out, someone mindful of what they eat, and he gets up early to work out. Tippin said he decided if he wasn't going to do it for himself, then he would do it for his family. He advised people not to put it off. Quote, it was probably the best decision I've ever made in my life, end quote, Tippin said in a taped interview. He added that people can start a little at a time, and one change will lead to the next. J.R. Torres, director of Dual Credit Development, said, 30 for 30 is a starting point wherever you're at, whatever your fitness level and whatever your apprehension. He encouraged people to try something and see they can create momentum to continue. The 10 finalist names were drawn at the finalist drawing on October 7th. From all of the names of those who successfully completed the 30-day challenge, Harmony Science Academy in Odessa won the school prize of $1,000. It will go toward physical education at the school. 71 youngsters competed in the challenge this year. The grand prize winner had a choice of a Peloton bike or a Nordic Track commercial 2450 treadmill. Amy Martin, Senior Vice President of Loan Operations at Southwest Bank, was the grand prize winner and chose the Nordic Track. Martin and her husband have a Peloton, so they wanted to add a treadmill. She has entered for several years, and she noted that the Southwest team is very committed. Quote, this is my first time to be drawn in the top 10, so it's exciting, end quote, Martin said. Prizes for the winners follow. Grand prize, 2 options. Peloton bike, family package, $2,800 value. Nordic Track commercial 2450 treadmill, $2,800 value. Finale first runner-up prize, $1,000 HEB gift card. Rita Pruitt won this. Finale second runner-up prize, 2-in-1 folding treadmill and 30 standing adjustable desk, $500 value. OC student Catherine Berry was the winner. Kids grand prize, Nintendo Switch Lite package, $650 plus value. Rianne Benavides won this. Team challenge prize, $1,000 cash. This went to Finley's Fit Team. Matt Plummer, OC graphic and web design specialist, won a $100 gift card from HEB. Josu Talamantes also won a $100 HEB gift card. School challenge prize, $1,000 check went to Harmony Science Academy. Sponsors for this year's fitness challenge are Medical Center Hospital, the City of Odessa, First Basin Credit Union, HEB, Sam's Club, and CBS 7. Quick hits. MCH COVID numbers released. Medical Center Hospital has released its inpatient COVID numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Thursday. 35 total COVID patients in-house. Med, surge, non-critical, 20 COVID patients. 17 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated, 2 unknown. Critical care, 15 COVID patients, 12 on ventilator. 11 unvaccinated, 2 vaccinated, 2 unknown. Of the 12 COVID patients on ventilator, 2 are vaccinated, 9 are unvaccinated, 1 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients, 30 to 93 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include one from Big Spring, one from Camp Wood, 4 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Jal, New Mexico, 1 from Kermit, 2 from Midland, 1 from Pecos. The rest are from Odessa/Ector County. Men's Prayer Breakfast. The Bridge, 3901 East Yukon Road, has scheduled a men's prayer breakfast at 7:30 a.m. Saturday. All men are welcome. Visit tinyurl.com/AN3PZCSW. From staff reports. COVID-19 numbers. By the numbers. Ector County, 25,361 total cases, 513 deaths. Midland County, 27,609 total cases, 354 deaths. Texas, 4,166,312 total cases, 68,902 deaths. U.S. cases, 45,614,772 total confirmed, and 741,115 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Local News Roundup. Florida Avenue Market. Midland College, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland, has scheduled a Florida Avenue Market from 8 a.m. to noon Saturday. There will be music, local vendors, fresh seasonal produce, vendor basket raffles, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and Halloween costume contest, 11 a.m. For more information, call 432-685-4500, email rbell@midland.edu, or visit tinyurl.com/R5ES5VK. Bornoff String Workshop. The University of Texas of the Permian Basin Music Department, 4901 East University Boulevard, has scheduled a Bornoff String Workshop event from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788, Midland. Pre-registration is required. Register at fase.org. For more information, call 432-552-3286, email music@utpb.edu, or visit tinyurl.com/4P7P86AH. Fall Market. Stomping Grounds by H&B and Emerald Terrell, 206 East 16th Street, has scheduled a fall market event from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday. There will be barbecue food truck, face painting, raffle, and more. For more information, call 432-242-6210. Email stompinggroundsbyhb@gmail.com or visit tinyurl.com/VU7V7UEF. Car and Bike Show. Legacy Harley-Davidson, 12100 West Highway 80 East, has scheduled a free car and bike show from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday. Registration opens at 9 a.m. All cars must be parked by 10:30 a.m. Voting will take place from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Times are subject to change. For more information, call 432-561-8991. Email gfisher at legacyhd.com or visit tinyurl.com/59KX4S23. Fall Festival. Andrews Black and Gold Market, 801 North Main Street, Andrews, has scheduled a Fall Festival event from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. There will be candy, games, and more. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/YTRH38DD. Permian Basin Walk. The annual Permian Basin Walk to End Alzheimer's has been scheduled Saturday at the Cimarex Energy Pavilion, 5514 Champions Drive, Midland. Registration starts at 9 a.m., opening ceremony at 10 a.m., and the walk at 10:30 a.m. All in-person events will implement safety protocols, including physical distancing, contactless registration, hand sanitizing stations, and more. Per CDC guidelines around crowded outdoor settings, the organization asks that all walk attendees be vaccinated against COVID-19 or wear a mask when in an overcrowded area. Masks will be available on site. For those who prefer it, a walk from home option will offer walk day experiences through the website and mobile app. To register and receive the latest updates, visit alz.org/walk. Fall Fest Fun. Westover Baptist Church, 2540 North Torrance Avenue, has scheduled a free Fall Fest Fun event from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. Visit tinyurl.com/YFM4TNXM. Free Resource Community Event. Mayor's Drug and Crime Commission has scheduled a free resource community event from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday at Sherwood Park Community Center, 4819 North Everglade Avenue. There will be free hot dogs, live DJ, and kid-friendly activities. Visit tinyurl.com/5TVE6696. Concert. Bellevue Baptist Church, 1710 North Big Spring Street, Midland, has scheduled a Singing Women of Texas concert event at 6 p.m. Saturday. Admission is free. For more information, call 432-682-9474. Email cassie@bbcmidland.com or visit tinyurl.com/vetdhpxy. Roar with Laughter. The Midland Northside Lions Club has scheduled the 18th annual Roar with Laughter Hilarity Review at 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Hispanic Cultural Center, 1311 East Wadley, Midland. The event will include a variety of talent, mainly original, stand-up comedy, acting, singing, juggling, dance, and magic. Tickets are $20 each, available at Liberty Tax Service, 100 North Midkiff Road, Midland, Abacus Computers, Claydesta Center, Dillard's Customer Service, Midland Park Mall, Pristine Organic Cleaners, and Jewelry Pagoda. Sponsorships are available. For tickets, sponsorship, or information, call 432-694-1990 or visit tinyurl.com/8EYYDZBD. Performance. Comedian and actor Felipe Esparza is scheduled to perform at 8 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM, 1788 Midland. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/35ZW2UJN. Cancer Sucks Fest. West Texas Gifts of Hope has scheduled Cancer Sucks Fest featuring the Eli Young Band October 30th at La Hacienda. Special guests will be Brian Milson and Treaty Oak Revival. The event benefits West Texas Gifts of Hope. General admission is $40 pre-sale or $50 at the door. Tickets are available at stubwire.com. To sponsor, call 432-614-9284 or email odessa.hopehouse@gmail.com. For more information, visit westtexasgiftsofhope.org. Early release day set for ECISD. New app unveiled in training session. Ector County ISD will have an early release day October 20th. Meaning students will attend school for half of the day, and staff members attend professional development sessions in the afternoon. Below are the dismissal times. Knoll Elementary / Travis Elementary, 11:30 a.m. All other elementary campuses, 11:40 a.m. Carver and Lamar EECs, noon. OCA and OCTECHS, 12:20 p.m. These two campuses have their early release October 22nd. Middle schools accept Ector 12:50 p.m., Odessa High School 1:35 p.m., George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa and Permian High School 1:40 p.m. Ector College Prep Middle School follows a separate calendar and does not use these early release days. One of the afternoon sessions for teachers will introduce them to a new college and career readiness app called Access Life. Access for Success is a career exploration platform developed locally by Star Tech Group and launched in 2018. It connects students to professionals in a variety of industries, helping them explore their interests and create their plans for the future. In Ector County ISD, three departments collaborate with Access, AVID, Post-Secondary, and Career and Technical Education. The new smartphone app is a way to allow students even more access, so to speak. The presentation on October 20th will take place at 4 p.m. in the Zant Room at Odessa College, 201 West University Boulevard. UTPB hosts Domestic Violence Awareness Event. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and the Crisis Center of West Texas wants people who are survivors or victims know that they are not alone and that there is always help. The Crisis Center of West Texas held an awareness event Thursday on the campus of the University of Texas of the Permian Basin to honor and remember those who survived and those who were killed by their partners in this region. Prevention Services Director at the Crisis Center, Elizabeth Teixeira, said that last year there was a harrowing number of people who were victims of domestic violence. Quote, in the state of Texas, 228 people were killed by their partners from 2020, which is the highest we have for any time we've done a statewide report like this, end quote, Teixeira said. Across the country and around the world, calls about domestic violence have been up since the pandemic began. Quote, what we want to stress is that it is not stressful situations that cause domestic violence, end quote, Teixeira said. Quote, domestic violence is caused by a pattern of corrosive behavior to gain and maintain control over someone's intimate partner, but oftentimes stressful situations can create and make domestic violence more dangerous, end quote. Teixeira also said that from October 2019 to this month, there have been 11 people in the Crisis Center of West Texas region who have been killed by their partners. Quote, that includes a 15-county region that spans from Big Spring over to Pecos and Fort Stockton is included in that as well, end quote, Teixeira said. During the event, Kat Engbritson, who is a UTPB graduate from 2017 and a survivor of intimate partner violence, told her story about her experience and what it's like to seek help as a survivor, as well as the hope that exists on the other side of leaving a violent relationship. Quote, I think it's very important for me and a lot of other people that I've spoken to share their stories because that helps in that healing process, end quote, Engbritson said. Quote, 2 years ago, I would have been too shy to do it, but I felt like I was in the right space this time to do it, end quote. About eight people from the Crisis Center of West Texas had a table set up on campus at UTPB. After Engbritson spoke, members at UTPB told the stories of those who did not survive domestic violence. At the end of the event, each person grabbed a flower and walked around the courtyard on campus. Quote, the message from today is that by gathering as a community, we send a message that people are not alone when they are in violent relationships, end quote, Teixeira said. Quote, there's a community of support available to them. If they experience violence, they can reach out for help and find support around them. There's hope on the other side of a violent relationship, end quote. Obituaries. Martha Sue Reed, Midland, Texas. Martha Sue Reed passed away Tuesday, October 12, 2021, in Midland. She was born October 29, 1946, to Jewel Elvin and Eudocia Dot Reed in Jacksonville, Texas. She is survived by her brother, Andrew Reed, and his wife, Jan, of Midland, Texas, her niece, Marianne Giles, and her husband, Danny, of Spring, Texas, and great-nephews, Reed and Ryder, and her nephews, Andrew R. Reed, and his wife, Michelle, of Katy, Texas, and great-nephews, Fisher and Cole, and great-niece, Emma, Robert Reed and his wife, Christy, of Fallshear, Texas, and great-nieces, Carter, Brooklyn, and Blake, and her dear friend and life partner, Jerry Butler, of Goldsmith. The family will receive friends Saturday, October 16th, 2021, at Ellis Funeral Home from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Arrangements in Midland are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home. Graveside services will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Monday, October 18, 2021, at Earl's Chapel Cemetery in Jacksonville, Texas. In lieu of flowers, all donations please send to SPCA. Martha was an avid animal friend. Deborah Ann Skidmore Pabst, Floresville. Deborah Ann Skidmore Pabst was welcomed into eternal life by her loving God on Friday, October 8, 2021. She passed away at Guadalupe Regional Medical Center in Seguin at the age of 64. Deborah, the daughter of Robert Lee Skidmore Sr. and Bonnie Lee Murphy Skidmore, was born March 4, 1957, in Dilley, Texas, and married the love of her life, Carl D. Pabst, on August 3, 2006, in Devine, Texas. She was preceded in death by her parents, Bonnie and Robert Lee Skidmore Sr., and grandparents, Owen and Julia Winslow, and William and Patrice Lind. Survivors include her husband of 15 years, Carl D. Pabst of Floresville, a son, Matthew Edward Luann Golden of Kennedy, a daughter, Leanne Tommy Lopez of Pawnee, three stepchildren, Abilene R. Mackey Staines of Margaretsville, North Carolina, Bobby J. Brian Manchester of Odessa, and Carl D. Pabst, Jr. of Camp Pendleton, California. Five granddaughters, Snowstorm M. Segal, Brittany Leanne Bell, Destiny M. Williard, September D. Williard, and Macy Naomi Staines. And two brothers, Robert Lee Skidmore, Jr. of Port Mansfield, and James Owen Debbie Skidmore of George West. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, October 14th, and Friday, October 15th, at Galloway & Sons Funeral Home in Beeville. The funeral service will be conducted at 10 a.m. Saturday, October 16th, at New Life Church in Beeville, with Dr. Carl D. Pabst, Sr. officiating. Burial will follow in the Three River Cemetery. Paul Bears will be Carl D. Pabst, Jr., Brian Manchester, Billy Kuntz, James O. Skidmore, Wesley Skidmore, Wade Skidmore, and Cody Skidmore. Tommy Francis Duval Wilson. Odessa. Tommy Francis Duval Wilson, 82, of Odessa, passed away on October 11, 2021. Family visitation will be Friday, October 15, 2021, at 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home on Saturday, October 16, 2021, at 3 o'clock p.m., with burial to follow in Sunset Memorial Gardens. Death notices. Vicki Lee Tweedy Holloway Harmon, Odessa. Vicki Lee Tweedy Holloway Harmon, 67, died Wednesday, October 6, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Julian H. Luna, Odessa. Julian H. Luna, 72, of Odessa, died Sunday, October 3, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, October 16, 2021, Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will be at a later date. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, October 9th, 2021. Election letters to the editor. At-large City Council. Corrales is a problem solver. I have known Mr. Corrales for over 2 years on a personal and professional level. Mr. Corrales is a family man. I had the pleasure of meeting his mom and his beautiful wife, Michelle. They're people who know how to work, how to build a business from scratch, and how to overcome adversities by working hard and working together. Mr. Corrales has a big role in his son's education. He serves in the Bynum School Board, the school where his son attends. There are many people who know how to talk and make great speeches, but carry out no actions. Mr. Corrales is a person with a plan. He is a doer, and he will deliver. He has been very active in our community for many years. I had experience working with him on a few boards. He is committed and he delivers. He is a businessman, a volunteer, a father, husband, and a son. We need someone qualified, like Mr. Corrales, to make the best decisions for our city. Someone who is a problem solver. Someone who will have a plan B, who listens and makes the best decisions for our community. Let's give Dan Corrales the opportunity to lead as City Council at large. Lucy Cisniega Hoyos. Poole will serve with honor. I have been blessed to call Midland, Texas, my home for more than 40 years. It is filled with some of the finest people I have ever known. As we approach the election for City Council, the question is, who can we trust to be financially conservative? Who is willing to serve others above self? I have known Robin Poole for more than 10 years. Her roots are in Midland. She loves our city and wants the very best for it. She will serve with honor and integrity. I commend Robin Poole, to you as a candidate for an at-large position on our city council. Russ Hale. Corrales has my vote for council. I would like to urge all Midland residents to vote for Dan Corrales, candidate for city council at large. Dan is a conservative who is detail-oriented and honest and forthcoming. As a native Midlander, Dan has many new, creative, and innovative ideas to make Midland a better place to live. Dan has the skills and knowledge and will use his life experiences of being a servant of God, father, husband, volunteer, and business owner to guide the city further into the 21st century. Dan has demonstrated leadership and is invested in our city. He serves on many boards, giving him a unique perspective on how hard nonprofits work to improve the daily lives of Midlanders. Dan also supports animal welfare and believes that Midland should be a great place for animals to live, just as it is for the humans who love them. He believes spaying and neutering saves the lives of animals and can reduce the local euthanasia rate in our shelters. For these reasons and many more, Dan has my vote. Lori Van Hooser. Poole is common sense candidate. I am writing this letter in support of Robin Poole for the at-large seat for City Council. Robin is a common sense candidate who truly cares about the people of Midland. My husband and I have already approached her with issues that concern us, and she listened and did her research on the subject. Robin is a hard worker and is so eager to serve the citizens of Midland. I hope you will get to know Robin and see what a genuine person she is. Robin gets my vote, and I hope you will consider doing the same. Jana Hudson. Corrales will make a difference. It is my pleasure to support Dan Corrales for an at-large position on the Midland City Council. I have known Dan for a few years. He is in my Rotary Club, and I've seen firsthand how involved he is in Midland. He is not afraid to ask the hard questions, and he can be seen out and about in Midland looking at infrastructure and talking with residents about needs in our community that may have heretofore been put on a back burner. Dan lives by Rotary's four-way test. He has a son who has autism, and I've seen him be a loving, caring dad to him. He volunteers on several nonprofit organization boards, so I know he is well aware of the services that are provided in our community and will be dedicated to making a difference in Midland. Of one thing I am certain, Dan will work diligently to make a difference in Midland. He is generous with financial support to nonprofits. He is enthusiastic, leads by example, and has a servant's heart. Please join me and vote for Dan Corrales for an at-large position on the City Council. Jean Jones. Poole has desire to serve residents. I want to take an opportunity to speak to the character of my friend Robin Poole, who is running for one of the two City Council at-large positions in next month's election. Robin is a woman of impeccable integrity. If she says it, she means it. She is real and she is honest. Robin loves her family and her friends and her city and her country. Her desire is to serve the people of Midland by making our city the best place it can be. She can be trusted. She can be relied on. She is tireless. She wants to see Midland as a city succeed, grow, and thrive. Robin is a go-getter. Robin is for the people of Midland. Let's make a positive change and let some fresh new ideas from a fresh new perspective bring some challenge to the table. Please join me to elect Robin Poole for City Council at large. Kim Stokes. Election dates to remember. Early voting, October 18th through 22nd, and October 25th through 29th at the elections office. Election day, November 2nd, 12 locations across Midland County. October 22nd is the deadline to submit an application for ballot by mail.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.